Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night shiur. Shiur is entitled Making Pesach for the First or 50th Time. Now, I imagine a lot of you are probably wondering, like, what kind of Pesach shiur is this going to be? Is this going to be just a regular Pesach shiur? A regular shiur, how to prepare Pesach, etc., etc.? Or is this going to be a shiur of, like, Pesach in crisis mode? How to deal with preparing for Pesach under the current conditions. So I actually thought about that myself a lot. What kind of shiur is this going to be? Is it going to be, as I sat down and thought about what I want to say, and which topics I want to touch on and how I want to approach them, I think for the most part, I think things are the same, but certainly we'll be sensitive to the fact that there are some additional difficulties this year in Pesach preparations. So with that haschala, I do want to mention also that I don't expect to talk a lot about kashering through the Kollel's website. So we'll see, depending on how it goes and the time, we may discuss some kashering in Yonim, but that's not the ikker of what the shiur was supposed to be about. It's supposed to be other forms of preparing for Pesach and celebrating Pesach. Certainly, if anybody has any questions about kashering, should they want to address to me, they're more than welcome to do so. Okay, so I want to begin with a expression, a phrase, a statement, which I'm sure you've heard 100 times, particularly this year, if you've been listening to anybody speak about Pesach this year, and then I want to build on that. And the phrase is, Pesach cleaning is not spring cleaning. A lot of rabbanim like to emphasize that, and it's true. It's 100% true. So let's try to explain, what does that mean? So it's not spring cleaning. So how does it differ? What has to be done? What doesn't have to be done? So the rule is Chazal. The Gemara tells us, kol makom shemachnisim bel chametz tzarich bedika. Any place where chametz is typically brought during the year needs to be checked for chametz, and if it has to be checked, so that translates itself into saying to be cleaned in advance, meaning instead of waiting for the, typically we're not going to wait for the leil bedika and say, okay, we bring chametz here, let's check it for chametz. If we know that it needs to be checked, we're going to want to clean it in advance so we don't get any major surprises, Wednesday night, Yudal Nisan. But conversely, a makom where we're not machnisim bel chametz, a place where we don't normally bring chametz, does not require bedika and therefore will not require cleaning. If chametz isn't brought there, so you could just leave it. Okay, now, so what constitutes a makom shemachnisim bo chametz, a place where chametz is brought, and what's called a place where chametz is not brought? So that'll depend a lot on the particular home. For example, a home with children, with small children, will typically, in most cases, have a lot more places which are called machnisim bo chametz, because kids walk around in many households at least, they walk around with food, all types of food, and during the year that food means pretzels and, you know, cereals, chametzik cereals, and even pieces of bread or pizza, whatever. They could walk around with these things, some homes more, some homes less. But it's common that they walk around with these things and they may deposit it in basically anywhere they could reach. So in a home with small children, makom shemachnisim bo chametz might be broadened to include some places where otherwise wouldn't be. But even so, even in such a home, there are places where the kids don't have access to. Let's say the parents' room and even in any room, places, drawers and shelves and areas where the kids can't reach, and they're not climbing on stools and, you know, hiding cookies behind whatever. A place where kids are normally not going, and you don't put chametz there, the parents don't, it's not a chametz place. For example, let's take in a parent's bedroom, and there are drawers and closets where this particular couple might very well be makbid never to bring food in there. Okay, not everybody is. In some homes, the husband might have his stash of cookies in his sock drawer in a chanami. That would be a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. But if that's not the case, and they're careful not to bring chametz in these places, and the kids don't have access to these places, so then they don't have to be checked. You don't have to go through every single drawer and take out the clothing in cases where it's drawers where chametz is never brought, and it's not the type of clothing which would bring in chametz, certainly not from the laundry. So, and that could apply, again, as I said, depends on the house, but that could apply to many rooms or closets or somewhere where chametz isn't brought. So places like that will not have to be cleaned or checked. So that's right away what we mean when we say Pesach cleaning is not spring cleaning. It doesn't mean every single area has to be gone through and dusted down and this and that. We're not, you know, the other expression is dust is in chametz, right? I'm sure you've heard that. It's true, by the way. Dust is not chametz, yeah. So that's not what we're cleaning for. And that's not what we're checking for. Okay, but we're checking for places where chametz is brought during the course of the year, is brought, or could very likely be brought. Those places have to be checked for chametz and mamela cleaned in advance, or checked in advance to make sure that there isn't amount of chametz there that you won't be able to deal with on Leil Badika. Now, even that being said, if here's a case where a halacha where maybe it might be more useful this year, for especially for people who were perhaps not planning on being home for Pesach, and they might have done some type of cleaning earlier, as many people do. Many people start much earlier. So if there are rooms or closets or drawers which you don't need, you won't need over Pesach, which normally you would like to have, and on a regular year, if you're home from Pesach, you would clean out that closet so that you could use it. But you say, now it's just not worth it now. It's too close to Pesach now to do everything, and the children are home from school, and whatever it is, the various challenges of what we're going through are present, and the time is shorter, etc. So you can simply decide, okay, I'll do without that closet for chametz, and I won't check it. I'll close it off. I'll close it off for Pesach. Put lock the door, or tape or string or something, and put a sign in it saying chametz or machal anachri, whatever it is. And that'll be off limits for Pesach. And then once you're doing that, you could put a lot of other things in there too, which you don't need, which might otherwise need checking. Like, we'll talk later probably about kids' toys, but let's say you have certain toys that they simply don't need over Pesach. They don't need, this toy chest or whatever it is. So rather than doing whatever effort might otherwise have to go into making it ready for Pesach, you could take that toy chest and put it into that closet and be closed off, or the basement. Maybe you don't need the basement over Pesach. These are just examples. Of course, everybody has to know in his house. But you may have areas that you don't need. And just like on Erev Pesach, you're going to, if you're staying home, most likely you're going to have some food items which are not suitable for Pesach, which you haven't destroyed or finished eating, and you're going to sell them to a non-Jew in the Mechiras Chametz, which you do every year, and you're going to put them aside in a pantry or something, or some area, which is going to be closed off, marked off, labeled Chametz Dik. So you could do that with other rooms too, and save yourself the tircha of checking those rooms and the tirch of the time, etc. Now, when you do that, I think it's pretty pashut, but I will, as I'm saying this, something is inside of me saying is that Omer Dover B'Shem Rabbah, give credit. I did listen to a shiur today, a phone conference shiur from Shmuel First from Chicago, and he mentioned this as an etzah that he's been giving a lot of people who call him, and like I said, it's pashut, but it's very pointed, very, something which maybe I wouldn't have thought of mentioning, and give him the credit for bringing it to our attention. Now, when you do that, preferably, the mechira should be done on Yud Gimel, should be done on the 13th of Nisan. Meaning to say as follows, in a regular year, when if you're home for Pesach, and you've basically you've prepared your whole house for Pesach, and you've just doing Bedikas Chametz in your whole house, and then setting aside whatever chametz you're not selling, you're setting aside in one spot. So you do the mechira yudalit, meaning you arrange with a rav that he'll sell the chametz to the guy on yudalit, on the 14th of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach in the morning. This way, the night before, the area is still your house belongs to you. The areas belong to you where there's chametz, and you're mekayim the mitzvah bedikas chametz in your house. If a person's going away for Pesach on a regular year, and let's say he's not checking his house, or he's not checking most of his house, and I don't want to go in, that's a shaila we don't need to go into this year about if it's appropriate or not appropriate to quote-unquote rent out your whole house, or practically your whole house except for one room, to a guy. That's usually a shaila that's on the forefront of every Pesach discussion this year. It's not. But when you do that, if you do that and you don't check parts of your house, you try to arrange for the mechira to be done on Yud Gimel. Many rabbanim do. They do two mechiras. They do a mechira on the 13th of Nisan. Let's talk this year. That would be on Tuesday morning. They'll do a mechira Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, whatever it is, before the Zman Bedika. Zman Bedika is going to be Tuesday night. So they bedavka sell places that people are not going to be bodek, they sell them to the guy, or rather rent the area to the guy, sell the chametz and rent the area to the guy on Tuesday before the chiyuv bedika comes in on the night of Erev Pesach. This way, according to all achronim, you don't have chiyuv bedika, because if you own the place still the night of Yudalid and you're planning on selling it to a guy in the morning, it's a machlokas achronim if you chayif to do bedika. So in order to be out all the days, the rabbanim will sell it on Yud Gimel. So these places here, you could do a dual mechila. You could, when you contact your rav, and by the way, just mention very quickly, there's no problem doing mechiras chametz without seeing the rav directly. You do not need to make the Kabbalah's king that we typically lift up the pen, whatever. That's not necessary. It's always done just lechizuka inyan. It's not a real part of the mechiras chametz. So you could definitely do it by getting a shtar. The rav email is sending out through email or whatever manner, faxing shtaros, and you fill it out and send it back, and you authorize the rav with your signature, or you authorize the rav orally to sell your chametz. That's fine. That's not even a bidyevid. So in any case, but when you do that, you could do a double. You could say, okay, I would like to, there's certain areas of my house, this closet, this basement, maybe this spare room that nobody's using. Unfortunately, nobody's using the guest room this Pesach. So the guest room, I'm going to close off. I'm going to tie it up that people should, and put a sign chametz, and I'm going to leave certain things in there. And we'll talk more about some other things you might want to put in there. And that you sell to the guy through the rav. Have the rav sell that on the 13th. Ask for a shtar for the 13th and a shtar for the 14th, and you include on the shtar for the 13th that guest room located at whatever your address is, and in it will be, you know, whatever the details the rav asks for. And this way comes Pesach, Erev Pesach night, you don't have to check that room. You don't have to do Bedikas Chametz in that room because it's already rented out to a guy. Whereas the rest of your house, you don't want to, you're keeping for yourself, and you'll just sell the rest of the Chametz on the 14th. Okay, now, let me mention the following. There is a Chorma that many people practice not to sell chametz gomer, even though we do a mechiras chametz, like I mentioned, and even if you think you got rid of all your chametz, it's kedai to do a mechira because we live such complex lives, and we own, you know, we buy in things, groceries and things so frequently, and who knows what you might have ordered online that you forgot about, you know, but that might be chametz stick, and who knows, things like that. So we do a mechiras chametz regardless. But many people are trying to be makbin not to sell chametz gomer, meaning since there's a whole discussion in the Achronim throughout the Doros about the validity of mechira, is it a good thing, is not such a good thing, so some people try to not to rely on it for chametz gomer, and as it gets closer to Pesach, they're careful about what they buy, they don't overstock chametz gomer, they try to use up their chametz gomer. And if the end comes Erev Pesach and they have some a half a loaf of bread left or whatever it is, or half a box of cereal, they'll do it. They'll do a mitzvah, Sreifas Chametz, Bir Chametz, they'll destroy it. They won't sell it. They won't sell it and put it away in the pantry. But even what will they put away in the pantry? Things which are not chametz gomer, like products with vinegar, which may contain a chametz stick, alcohol, or even things that you know do contain traces of chametz or mixtures of chametz in smaller amounts, or things which are maybe suffic chametz, that they'll sell. So, but even if you don't sell chametz gomer, when it comes to things like appliances, or let's take baking pans. Let's say you bake, or your wife bakes challah during the year, and she has metal baking pans rather than the disposable ones which she switches every week. She has these metal baking pans, and with time, the challah, you know, a lot of stuff gets baked onto them and caked onto them. It's hard to get it off. You might have cookie sheets or other kalim with chametz that's really stuck onto it, and you know, maybe it's not the most edible chametz, but it's chametz nonetheless. So it's not necessary, even in a regular year, to scrub that clean and get off every bit of chametz if you're doing a mechiras chametz. And even if you don't sell chametz gomer, but you could sell a pan that has some bits and pieces of chametz stuck to it and put it away in the pantry or whatever you're closing off. And now, so certainly this year, people who are staying home for Pesach to realize you don't have to scrub everything clean. You could sell that stuff and put it away. Now, a lot of people are asking, this year, could we be more makel and sell chametz gomer, even though we not normally do? Why? Some people say, well, I'm afraid maybe the stores won't have supplies after Pesach. Maybe I won't be able to restock. And some people are saying, well, maybe if I don't sell chametz gomer, I have to go through the pantry now and go through all the shelves and pick out. I might have a box of breadcrumbs, you know, six boxes behind, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather just close off the whole pantry and sell whatever's in there. But there might be a lot more than crumbs. As I said, there might be a box of cereal even, which, you know, but it's a tirch and it's a little bit too much for me. I'd rather avoid the tirch of checking the pantry. So that's reasonable. If a person wants to do that, on a year like this, it's reasonable. It is a chumrah. Meaning not to sell chametz gomer. It's not meikar adin. It's a chumrah. It's a widely practiced chumrah, but nonetheless a chumrah. Just without saying by name, I believe I was told one of the gedolei dar of the past dar, when he was asked, is it okay to sell chametz gomer? His response was, I'm refakayf nisht chametz gomer vas farkayf minyar. Which means if we're not selling chametz gomer, what are we selling? So in any case, one could be makel on that if they, for any one of the reasons I mentioned or other reason. I'm not necessarily recommending it if you weren't planning on it and you don't find it difficult to get in. You're not nervous about restocking, which not recommending that you be nervous. So then fine. But one who wants to be makel on that, there is makom to be makel. Now. Okay, so that would include also things like toaster ovens and whatever, which are hard to get immaculate. They don't have to be gotten immaculate. They shake out. Don't leave a piece of toast inside that your 6-year-old decided not to eat and it's been there for 2 months. You know, that you can get rid of. You know, take the piece of bread and destroy it. But the crumbs and everything that is hard to get out, especially the ones that are stuck with the cheese on the side of the toaster oven, those you could leave there and put it away in the chametz room, sold to a guy. Okay, now in general, you should know, The halacha is a mefurish that when we're cleaning or when we're doing bedika, we're not being bodik for crumbs. Crumbs, it's not usher to have crumbs in your house on chametz. Crumbs meaning, on the floor or lying around. Crumbs are batel me'elehim, batel memela. They don't require even a real bittel. In fact, everybody knows what it says when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. It says that after the morning suda, where you on Shabbos Erev Pesach, after the morning suda, when you eat your challah, you take the tablecloth and you shake it out on the ground, on the floor of your house, and get ready for Pesach. That's what it says to do. You're not vacuuming, and you're not doing anything else to get rid of those crumbs. So you're not checking for crumbs either. You're checking for pieces of chametz, which somebody might put into their mouth. I don't mean a whole roll, a lot less than that. A Cheerio even, or maybe even 3/4 of a Cheerio. That's already something. If some chashivas, a kid picks it up, or even an adult, you know, who's sitting at the table and sees a Cheerio, might put it into their mouth if they're in the middle of eating. but crumbs are batel. So you're looking for more substantial pieces. Now, that being said, so you just have to do a regular vacuuming of your carpets or sweeping of the floor, etc. Now, yes, should you move a couch? Should you check under the couch pillows? Should you check under the mattress where your kids might have been stuffing, the crackers that they want to save for next time when mommy doesn't give them enough crackers? Or, yeah, of course you should do that. You should pick up the mattresses, move the bed, look behind the couch, and even appliances, when feasible. Appliances typically, I mean, depending who we're talking to, I'm not talking to the elderly people that got stuck at home for Pesach and, it's not safe for them to move the refrigerator perhaps, but I'm talking about the average person for whom moving a refrigerator, whatever, although it's not something you do every other day, when you're bored, but it's highly doable. It's not usually the biggest deal to move a refrigerator. Now, again, I don't mean move it that you lift it up and you're able to get it through the door. I mean just move it a couple of feet so you can get a broom in behind it and you could sweep out what might have fallen down there over the course of the year. The refrigerator, the stove, perhaps any appliance that's movable, without an exceptional degree of difficulty. And as I said, you'll be able to just sweep there and get rid of certainly any major chametz that's there. So that you should be doing. When it comes to svarim, so most people, and this is an acceptable practice, don't check through all their svarim, even though during the course of the year they may bring their svarim to the table, and there may very well be some crumbs in their svarim. There's probably not more than crumbs. It's probably not a bagel in their Mishnah Berurah, probably. So you don't have to check through all your svarim, but you should be careful, and you should be mapid not to bring the svarim to the table during Pesach. If you want to have svarim that you could learn with at the table, besides your haggadahs and whatever svarim are inherently Pesachdik, so either you have, maybe you have a couple of new svarim, or svarim that you save for year to year to learn on Pesach, or take a sefer or two and check it thoroughly, page by page. One sefer, two svarim, whatever you want to use at the table on Pesach. Just at the table. I'm not saying you can't use your svarim on Pesach. I'm saying don't use them at the table if you're not checking them, even when you're not eating. Even when you're not eating. So if you want to learn at the table on Pesach with a sefer that's not checked, you have to put down something else. Put down a plastic or a towel or something and put the sefer on that, and don't put the sefer directly on the table. Because at the same time that I said that we're not checking for crumbs, and crumbs are bottle, but you can't eat crumbs. Crumbs are, the biggest problem of crumbs is at eating areas. You don't want to have crumbs in a place that you're eating. So you don't want to bring an unchecked sefer which may have crumbs in it, you don't want to bring to the table where, even as I said, even when you're not eating right then, but the crumbs could end up on the table and get into your food later. So that you do want to be makbid about. And for that, by the same token, when it comes to the eating areas, there you're going to be more careful about cleaning the tables and the chairs, the cracks and crevices, try to get out crumbs, or try to spray it with something pogain, take some sort of a bleach, or you know, some sort of a cleanser that has bleach or ammonia, different types of cleansing agents which are pogain, and use that to spray the areas where there might be crumbs, cracks and crevices of tables and stuff, so that even if, you know, chas v'shalom, it does end up in your food, it won't kill you, a crumb that was sprayed with ammonia, but this is not medical advice, by the way, but my assumption is it won't kill you, but it'll be pugum, you know, this little crumb that ends up in your food, it'll be pugum. So that's what you want to do. You want to clean those areas. You want to clean more carefully for crumbs, and as I said, at least be pugum, but you don't have to spread that ammonia all over your brand new carpet and end up with the bleach stains streaking your carpet, because those crumbs in your carpet, as I said, we're not worried about. Just vacuum and fart it. Okay, as much as I said, you don't have to clean the svarim, but I think svarim shelves, svarim shranks, are pretty good candidates for also for the kids hiding their stuff, you know, behind, you know, your tati has a nice row of svarim on the front of the shelf, and, you know, the cookies fit nicely behind it. So you may consider that might be something that's good to do to, you know, if that's not true in your house, or if shelves that are higher and your kids, as I said, are not the climbing type, or you don't let your kids go anywhere near where the svarim are with food, you know, a year round, so fine, then you don't have that that issue. But otherwise, that's something you have to, you know, that's a house by house cheshbon, I would say. Okay, now, I'll mention not everything here is perhaps in the most orderly fashion. I wrote down things as I thought of them. This room that you're, the room or rooms in which you're leaving your chametz and you're marking them off and putting string or tape or a sign or, you know, a combination of those things, you want to make every effort to that you shouldn't have to enter there during Pesach at all. I mean, you should not plan on entering that. You're also going to leave there something you need on Pesach, and you'll go in on Chalamoid, and you'll pull off the tape. No, absolutely not. The question is, let's say you didn't plan on it, but it ended up that way. You left the Tylenol in there, and somebody needs Tylenol, or whatever it may be. You forgot something in that room. It's already Pesach, and you forgot something, or you didn't anticipate needing it, or someone says, hey, do we have this? Sure, we have it. It's in that pantry. Oh, that pantry. I just closed off that pantry. So many poskim talk about, are you allowed to go in derech haroi? Most poskim that I've seen do allow it to go in derech haroi. I've heard the concept of having a shomer, someone to watch you, to make sure that you don't take anything chametz stick and eat it. I don't know that that's necessarily al pi halacha, but I've seen many poskim who do allow a person to go in derech haroi to get something from the room, because even though it's rented out to the goy, but we assume that he allows you drisus harigel. He allows you the right to go there to get something that's yours. But it's a bidyevet. As I said, don't plan on it and plan against it, especially if you're closing off additional spaces, like we mentioned earlier, that suggestion. So think carefully if there's anything that you know, good chance that you're going to need, and take it out beforehand. Okay. Now, kidneys, we cannot eat on Pesach, Ashkenazim, at least for the Ashkenazic Jewry. And even this year, and this is something that I think, of course, it's Pashit, but I've heard a number of Rabbanim. I heard Rabbi First speak that out today. I heard Rabbi Moshe Heinemann in his shiur last night addressed it as well and said, no, we cannot eat kidneys. Baruch Hashem, we're not living under such conditions where we have to scrape around for food to the point we have to eat kidneys. Baruch Hashem. It's not the situation. Halavai, it should never be. So you should not eat kidneys. But you're allowed to, let me just mention the exception. Young children and the elderly or the infirmed can eat kidneys. If your baby is on the formula, which is kidneys, it's okay. As long as it's just kidneys, that's fine. Don't wash out the bottles over the kitchen sink, which is Pesach. They can over your Pesach the kekel and wash it out in the bathtub or the bathroom sink, whatever it may be. But you're allowed to, you know, no problem handling it, no problem owning kidneys, and even kidneys which you're not feeding to a child or to anyone, you're allowed to own. There's no problem owning kidneys, and if you don't have to sell it, it doesn't have to go into the Pesach closet. Just make sure you're not going to end up eating it. I mean, if you're afraid that you don't want to leave it on the shelf with your, with your matzo ball mix and whatever else, you know, that's Pesach dik. Assuming matzo ball mix is Pesach dik in your house. It is in mine. But as long as it's the matzah, it's proper matzah. Of course, you don't want to leave with your Pesach food so you don't accidentally eat it. So you want to put it away off to the side, you know, that type of thing. But it doesn't have to be sold. It doesn't have to be, in the closet with the stuff that's sold to the guy, etc. Okay, now, in terms of, let's talk a little bit about products for Pesach. So, first of all, you could buy disposable products, aluminum products. They don't need a special hechsher. They don't need any hechsher, you know, year-round. And an advantage of aluminum products is, according to many poskim, they will not need to be tovled, especially if you're going to only use them one time. We know, I'm sure you know, it's a big machlok, it's about disposable kalim. Not to be confused with a permanent type keli, which you want to buy and use just once without toveling and then tovel later. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not acceptable. We're talking about a disposable item which is designed to be used only once, and particularly if you're only going to use it once. So then many poskim hold you don't have to tovel it. You could use it without tefillas kelim, which is another advantage, especially this year when tefillas kelim might present a bit of a challenge, or more than a bit. You could buy those, and you could buy paper plates and styrofoam, etc. They're acceptable according to many kosher authorities, including the CRC. The paper product can be used for both hot and cold. Of course, the aluminum and plastic as well. Okay, now products in terms of let's think about medications and things like that. So we know for many years now the CRC has been publicizing a letter which has been signed by not only the Rosh Beis Din of the CRC, Rav Schwarzschlitta, and now the Av Beis Din of Rav Ries, but as well as by the Rosh Kol, Rav David Zucker, and Rav Shmuel First, and till this year, we also had the schus of having Rav Chaim Goldzweig, Tzchon Avracha, sign it. But I noticed they redo the letter every year, and his signature is no longer on it simply because I didn't read it carefully to see that there are no changes. But even when there are no changes, they update it every year. They have the Rabbanim sign. In fact, this year's CRC booklet has pictures of the Rabbanim signing the statement. I guess to show that it's not just something which one of these Rabbanim might have held of 25 years ago and doesn't want to say or forgot about. No, he signed it again this year. Okay, what does this statement say that I'm making such a big deal about? The statement says that any medications which are in pill form, which you just swallow down, not chewable pill, pills that you just swallow down, can be taken for a medical need. It doesn't have to be that the person, it doesn't have to be chol sheyesh bo sakana chas v'shalom, it doesn't have to be a dire need. If it's a medical need that it's addressing, it could be taken. And there's a lot more in that statement. It's you could either read it. You can, I'm sure you can get it on the CRC's website as well if you don't have a copy of their Pesach guide. Right, so that refers to medications that are swallowed, pills that are swallowed whole. So first let me clarify, it does not mean vitamins. Vitamins which are taken as dietary supplements is not included. And the reason being that the heter is based on that it's considered, you're eating it shalok derech achila. It's not roi lachila. It's chalk. A pill is basically chalk. It's not roi lachila. And you're taking shalok derech achila. But yet there's a shayla of what's called achshavei. Do we say that when I took it, I ate it? So if I eat a piece of plastic, so maybe I was machshavit like a Michael. So the post can say, but not if you took it for refuah. I wasn't machshavit for ochel, I took it for refuah. But if I took it as a dietary supplement, what does that word mean? Those words mean food, dietary supplement. If you take a dietary supplement, then there's more of a shayla. And the post can say that, yes, that already gets into the concern of achshavei lachila. You are machshavit this little piece of chalk, lachila, because it has vitamin A, B, C, D, E, F, G in it, and you think that's very good for your diet. So you shouldn't take that on Pesach, or really year-round, if it doesn't have a suitable hechsher. That is the position that we take. If you're taking it for a specific medical need, you're taking it's a vitamin, but you're taking it for a specific medical need, then it's a different story. Then it would typically get the status of a medication that you could take it if it's just a swallowable, non-chewable pill. Liquid medications is a different story. Those do need some degree of checking out, but I want to be very careful. Like everybody always says, if you're taking a medication, especially something that's important, and well, typically medications are important, don't just stop taking it. Check it out, and check it out now if you need to. Hopefully you can get a doctor on the phone if you need to. But check it out and find out, meaning, well, first you could try to find out if it's Pesach or not, if it has any Pesach concerns, by calling one of the kashrus organizations. Otherwise, or not otherwise, and probably in addition, speak to your doctor and find out, if it's safe for you, especially if you find out that it does contain chametz or a concern of chametz, and you should only take it if need be, then find out from your doctor. Don't just stop taking it. Find out if you must take it. And and if you can't find out, or if your doctor says you must take it, and the kashrus organization says it's chametz stick, then speak to your rav, or whatever your doctor says. Other than forget it, you don't need it at all. Anything short of that, check with the rav. Then how you should proceed. Okay, now with other products, so typically anything that's not going in your mouth or on your lips. Creams, lotion, anything that's not a liquid, a cream, a lotion, certainly a bar, any of these things are acceptable for Pesach regardless of the ingredients. You could use shampoo, no matter what it has in it, that's not a liquid, it's a thick, creamy shampoo, or any typical consistency shampoo, or a hand lotion, or whatever it may be. Anything, if it's not going in your mouth or on your lips, you could use it. And it's not a liquid, you could use it regardless of its ingredients. If it is a liquid, so then we are concerned about that it should not have in it denatured alcohol from a chametz sticker source. There are plenty of alcohols that are not chametz sticker source, and in fact, in the United States, many products with alcohol any products of this type do not contain chametz sticker alcohol, such as my understanding is the perfumes. Perfumes manufactured in the United States, it's my understanding, I'm told, that there's no concern of chametz in them because the alcohol is not of a chametz sticker alcohol. If they're manufactured abroad, then check it out. In general, if it's a liquid and it contains alcohol and there's a concern that it might be a chametz sticker alcohol, then try to be mevar. If it's something you need, be mevar. If it's not if it's just a product, then you can do without it for 8 days, so fine. So then put it aside and don't use it. Okay, now, tablecloths. So disposable tablecloths are fine to use, but even regular tablecloths that are machine washable, a material tablecloth which you could put in a washing machine, wash out with hot water and detergent, and it's kashrut Pesach. You could use it. Now, the practice on Pesach is to keep your table always covered with something, the entire Pesach being covered with. Some people cover it with a couple of layers of made paper and then plastic, but get something to cover the table with and keep it permanently covered. And then on top of that, you put your tablecloth, which you can take on and off, a flesh of a tablecloth, milk of a table, whatever it is. So you have at least a double layer, and one layer never comes off. One layer stays on the table the whole Pesach. But what I'm saying is that even the top layer that you're eating on, if it's machine washable and you wash it with hot water and soap, you're allowed to use it that way for Pesach. If it's a vinyl, even if you wash it down with a sponge, that you should not use for Pesach. That you should, if you want to use a vinyl tablecloth, make sure it's brand new. Okay. I'd love to ask you if you have any questions, but I don't think I'm going to hear them. So, I'm sorry?
Towels.
Dish towels and things like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's Baruch Hashem, one or two people here who are able to ask questions. Oh, okay. Dish towels. Dish towels, one could do the same if they are machine washed, typical dish towels, which are machine washable. And you can get them clean in hot water and detergent. They can be used. Now, granted, many people will have separate towels for Pesach because, especially ones that you don't use just for washing your hands, you use to dry dishes. People like to have different ones. It's more Pesachdik. But the halacha, if they're machine washable, then you could do that, hot water and detergent, and they're ready to go for Pesach. Okay, so a question is being has been sent in. If you're not planning on moving the fridge all Pesach, nevertheless, if it's, as I said, if it's not a Herculean job, I'm not talking about a fridge which is maybe an industrial size fridge, which it takes three guys whose arms don't get through your doorway to move it. I don't mean that, but if it's a regular fridge which is movable with a reasonable effort, and you have people that are capable, then yes, you should move it, even if you're not planning on moving a Pesach. The one asked the question is probably thinking, why don't we say it's nafal aleh gal, and that something which is not going to be uncovered in Pesach. But we don't do that, something like a fridge, unless, as I said, if it's a fridge which is really not practically movable, it takes a couple of people with strong arms to do it, then that makes more sense to say that's like nafal aleh gal. But a fridge that's fairly easily movable, then it is kedai to do it, even though you don't typically move it. Okay, now let me talk a little bit about Bedikas Chametz itself. when you do the Bedikas Chametz, so the mitzvah is to do it Leil Yudalit. This is another shaila which is not being asked this year, and that's the shaila about people being I'm leaving my house on this night or that night, I'm being bodek. Do I have to Bedikah? Do I make a bracha? This and that. That shaila, unfortunately, is not being asked this year too much. So the bedikah is done Leil Yudalit, the night of the 14th of Erev Pesach, which is this year is a Wednesday night. And but what I want to stress, and this is something that I've heard many years. He didn't actually speak about it today, but I heard this from Rav Shmuel first many times. B'shem Rav Moshe, and though I will admit, though, if you look in the Sefer Masoros Moshe, there are conflicting discussion. There are discussions back and forth about it. Not everything in what it says there on this topic is consistent with what I'm about to say, but I did discuss it with Rav first last year, and he told me that the Iker is the way I'm about to say it. That's what he's always said, and he believes, that this is the Iker Psak, the Iker Mahalach, and that is that anything which is not the house and not attached to the house, even if it's Machnisim Bo Chametz and you have to check it and clean it out, it doesn't have to be done Leil Yudalit. It doesn't have to be the night of Erev Pesach. It could be done in advance. Which means, let's start with your car. Yes, if you're going to use your car in Pesach, if you're planning on going into your car at all, then yes, it has to be cleaned out for Chametz. And that which means you have to either vacuumed or swept well, and yeah, pick up the seat and a seat that moves up and vacuum. It's more practical to vacuum, or at least take a whisk brush and get rid of any chametz you see and etc. You have to clean out your car, but it doesn't have to be in the Leil Yudalit. Your car is not your house, and it's not attached to your house, and therefore it's not part of the takana that it must be laor haner Leil Yudalit. And the same thing is the things within your house which are kalim, such as dresser drawers, even if it's a dresser shemachnisim b'chametz, or a cabinet where you keep the cookies and the other things, but it's a portable cabinet. It's not nailed to the wall. It's a portable cabinet in the house, so that could be checked in advance and cleaned and finished in advance. And the bedikah could be done totally in advance. It doesn't have to be done l'or haner, and it doesn't have to be done the night of Yudalit. Now, that's as I said, refers to Shem Ramosha, and I've heard from him numerous times. But in general, Bedikas Chametz, if you look in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, that's one of the places discussed, but it preceded that Sefer, of course, but there's one place where he speaks out very clearly that Shlomo Zalman said the Iker Mahalach nowadays that most of us practice, and which he was endorsing, is that you clean out your house in advance, and you know that everything is clean and there's no chametz in the places, and then at the Leil Bedikah, it's more or less going through a checklist. Like you come to a certain place and you check, okay, just make sure, let's double check. Okay, was this cleaned for Pesach? Yes, absolutely. Let's say your freezer. You have a freezer anyways, not attached to the house, but so of course you can do it before. But so you come Leil Pesach and Leil Erev Pesach, and you say, okay, was this freezer made Pesach Day? And your wife says, are you kidding? You didn't see me for the past, how many hours I spent on this freezer? It's stocked with all the Pesach, the gefilte fish and whatnot. And so, okay, they're fine. Check it off. I don't, you don't have to physically check it off, but in your mind, check it off. And that's what it is. You go through the house, place to place, double checking that everything was gone through properly. Now, we are mahadir to put down 10 pieces of chametz, especially nowadays when we do typically a pretty thorough job of cleaning. So we're mahadir to put down 10 pieces of chametz. And so sure, you got to look for them, and they're supposed to be put in places where it takes a little bit of effort to find them, so that it's not super simple, so that you are checking. But you're checking for that, and that's also our justification to make a bracha after we've cleaned our houses thoroughly. But you're double checking and making sure that everything was done kedasu kedin, and you go through the entire house that way, and it makes the bedikah doable, approachable. It should be done. I'm not trying to say it shouldn't be done thoroughly. It should be, but it doesn't have to be that you're doing it from scratch, because that's pretty difficult in our homes. Pockets of clothing. There's a minute, and that's a minute. Says you should. I mean, if it's machlis and bochametz, you for sure have to check. There's a minute to shake out the pockets, even b'shas beer chametz, b'shas treves chametz. But they have to be checked in advance for chametz. If you put chametz in your pockets, like many people do, and kids certainly do, but that doesn't have to be Leil Bedikah. Your pants are and shirts are not part of the house, so they can be checked in advance. And they can be checked by hand also. Like if you have a stack of shirts in your closet, you can just feel. You don't have to get your nose into every and eyes into every pocket and with a flashlight and see if there's anything in there. Remember, we're not looking for the tiny crumbs, especially if it's clothing you're not going to be wearing, where there's no way it's going to get into the food. So you feel, if it came from the laundry, the dry cleaner, probably no crumbs, and anyway, certainly no big pieces that you could tell with your hands. You feel with your hands, make sure there are no big pieces. When it comes to toys, which you want to leave out for the kids to play with, I'm jumping a little bit, I know, forgive me, but so they should be, the best thing, toys which are washable should be washed, soap and water too, because toys is a very big makom shemechis nevochametz. So it's best to wash them with soap and water. But again, one does not have to, go b'shuga over every little, checking every little thing. But they should be, or every little crack in a block or something. But they should be washed with soap and water, and hopefully the soap would be pogim anything that might be left behind. Okay, I think I've primarily spoken about everything I wanted to, short of kashering, which I said wasn't the emphasis. I said maybe we speak a little bit about it. Sorry, what time is it? 2 minutes. Okay. So maybe we'll hold it here. As I said, Rabbi Blazer gave 2 shiurim already, Sunday morning shiurim. You could look them up online, the Kol's website, about kashering. And I'm more than happy to discuss if anybody may. If you don't have my phone number, I will be foolish enough to give it publicly now. It's public anyway. 773-983-9701. Again, 773-983-9701. That's of course only if you can't really reach somebody who really knows. But if you want to call me, so you're welcome to call me, whether it's about kashering or anything else I sell tonight or anything else. Hopefully, Bezer Shem should allow us to, assuming we're still in this bitter gullus here. We're not in Yerushalayim yet, because over there I don't know if they'll allow live streaming of shiurim. But, okay, I didn't mean to insult any IT people that might be in the room. otherwise, next week's shiur hopefully will be about the Pesach Seder, and I hope to go through that thoroughly, and maybe keep... Mach Seder?
Yeah.
Keep your eye, if you want to see the shiur or hear the shiur, keep posted. Maybe I'll sell a little bit earlier, because I would like, usually in Chicago I would always run out of time. I would have an hour for the shiur, and I always ran out of time. So maybe, of course this year I don't have my notes, because who knows where they're packed away, but Bez Hashem will work it out. So maybe we'll start the shiur a little bit earlier next week, so keep your eyes peeled to the information that is sent your way. And in the meantime, Everybody should, as Hashem, stay healthy, stay calm, and stay home. Hey, that's good. Stay healthy, stay calm, stay home. But really stay home. Really stay home. It's not a joke that we're not davening in shul, and we're not learning with our chavrusas and with the shirim. It's serious. If the rabbanim and the are telling us that that's what we have to do, then they mean that's what we have to do. And they don't mean that try to chaperayin a minion here or there. It's something to really take very, very seriously. This is fairly universal. And I'll quote again one of my famous quoting sources, Rav Shmuel First, very stark about it. And he was very stark about it today on the shir. And I know he's been all along. And he wasn't from the first to close down the shuls. Adrabah, at the very beginning, he said it's case by case. And Adrabah. But once he felt it reached the turning point, which he feels, unfortunately, we're way beyond, very stark about it. So I think it's something that everybody really has to take very, very seriously here in North Miami Beach, as well as everywhere. Have a good night. Be well. Be gesund. And looking forward to hearing from you and seeing you next time. Bye.